We've got a pretty exciting topic to talk about.
We do. It's a big one.
We're going to talk about our own experiences, how it's affected us.
This isn't a podcast to judge people who have had abortions because we are one of those people as well.
Yeah.
Went through with that abortion and that was quite traumatic. If I'm not going to keep my own baby, I'm not going to give my baby to someone else. So I'm just going to end the baby's life.
Welcome to the podcast. My name is Toby Zappia and I'm your host.
And I'm your host, Susan Zappia.
And this is What God Has Done,
where miracles unleash faith.
Two, three, let's go. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Toby Zappia and I am your host.
And I'm Susan Zappia.
And this is What God Has Done, episode number, I don't know, it's a bonus episode.
That's
so
right.
We don't have a number for this episode, but that's okay. We've got a pretty exciting topic to talk about.
We do. It's a big one.
It is a big one. And we don't want to ruffle any feathers out there. We want to come with you with love and with truth. Yep. We're not judging you. We're going to talk about our own experiences, how it's affected us. But this topic is on, over to you, Susan.
Abortion.
There we go. So where do we start?
Where do we start? I mean, abortion has been such a hot topic for a while now, especially after a couple of bills were approved. Where do we start? I mean, we've both experienced abortion.
Yes.
Obviously, Toby wasn't pregnant.
No, I was not pregnant.
Crazy guys can, I guess, be pregnant these days if they identify as a man.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're a woman, so.
That's right.
Yes, no, Toby is not female. He's male and he was never pregnant. But he was in a relationship with the woman that was pregnant.
Correct.
And they had an abortion. Yes. And I, too, was in a relationship with a man and we had an abortion. So we've both experienced having an abortion. So we feel like we can talk about this topic really being really vulnerable and open because we've been on the other side and we've been those people that have decided to abort a baby. And now after receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior and reading the Bible and being Christians, now we can see why abortion is murder. So we do want to talk about our experiences. What does the Bible say? What does the world say? And what does that mean for you and me as believers?
I guess we need to start off with, a lot of people say that it's my body and it's my choice and I get to do what I want. And let's sympathize with people here because in a sense, yes, you decide what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, where you're going to work, where you're going to, you know, run around and whatever you do day to day, you decide. You carry your body that way. And in a sense, you feel like you have ownership over it. And in a way, possibly you do have ownership to a certain degree. And what I'm saying here is this. You can do whatever you like. And the Bible's clear about that. We can do all things, but not all things are beneficial to us. Correct?
That's right. That's right.
But ultimately, we're talking about something different here. We're talking about a life that's being formed and created. And we got to go back a bit.
Can I just interrupt?
Go on.
I think also you're saying, yes, it's your body. You can eat what you want. You choose whether you want to exercise. Like you have all these choices, but you only have those choices because God gave you free will.
That's right.
The Bible says that if you're crucified with Christ, you go down in the waters to resemble his death and you come out to resemble his resurrection. And then it says in Galatians 2:12, I think it is, it says that I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ
who lives in me. Yep.
So you are now dead in a sense that you do not have ownership over your body anymore. You're choosing to be one with Jesus, which means that you're choosing to give him complete, like his body, this body is now his, which means that you represent Jesus in everything you do with your body. The way for women out there, the way you dress, men and women, the way you speak, what you put into your body, what you eat, and also the life you carry. That baby's not yours. It belongs to Jesus. So if you're looking at this from a Christian perspective, yes, you have free will, but just because God gave you free will, it doesn't mean that everything you have is yours. He's the one who still gave it to you.
And the Bible also says you were purchased. You were actually purchased by Christ's death. By Christ's death, you're actually purchased.
Yeah.
You're a ransom.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, which is amazing, which then says we belong to Christ. But I'm talking about the people who possibly aren't Christians who say, and there's a lot of stuff that people say. So they say, it's my body, it's my choice, I do what I want. Some other people say, what would happen if your wife was raped by someone? And this is like, because how would I feel if someone raped my wife and she became pregnant? Would I still have the same opinion? That's a very difficult question to answer in the sense of how I would feel. Of course, I would feel upset, angry. I would want to do really bad stuff to the person who hurt my wife. And that's also love, by the way, because someone's wrath of protection is also love. And that's where we see God's protection to protect Israelites is poured out in wrath, is a form of love. But let's take a step back here and say, let's say that happened to me. What can I do? What are my options here? I can abort the child. I can go and what? Murder that guy. Or I can just turn to Jesus. You see, friends, we're not supposed to do life without God. That's the truth at the end of the day. We're just not. But we're not. And God is there to carry us through the evilness that's in life, the hardship that's in life, the seasons that you didn't call forth that are in life. And that's the thing. Is it going to be hard? Oh, that baby's, again, it's going to be reminding you of the rape. Friends, God can heal everything. And God will heal everything.
And that's one thing I want to touch on. I've worked with so many vulnerable mothers out there who have been pregnant and have decided to keep their baby. And it is, I don't like referring to that baby as a rape baby. I know that people say that, but that baby's not a rape baby. That baby's perfect. Although it was conceived in the circumstances that were not godly and not love, that baby's still perfect. And the mum does keep that baby. And yes, there is trauma connected to that child because that child was conceived in a really ugly and disturbing way. But we have to understand that there is healing from trauma.
Yes.
And Jesus provides that healing from that trauma. If that baby wasn't born, that beautiful baby, that innocent baby that is actually not connected to that rape at all, that rape, it comes from a circumstance which was horrible, but that baby is made perfect and pure and innocent. So when the mother can process the trauma and stop associating the baby with the rape and actually see the baby as the perfect, innocent child gift from God, then there's actually so much joy that that baby will bring that family. So it's a matter of not looking at the situation and thinking, okay, this is a rape baby, and for the rest of my life, I will be reminded of the person who raped me when I look at the child. But actually looking at that situation as this is the opportunity for Jesus to heal my heart and heal my trauma. And what a beautiful gift and blessing that God has given me in such an ugly situation. There's a scripture that says, God turns everything to good. And having a baby is a good thing. Although it was a bad situation, God has given you a beautiful gift. So I just want to add my two cents in with that, Toby.
You're right, Susan, because ultimately when you have a baby through a traumatic process like that, God will heal the trauma. And then what you can see is the beautiful part of it, which is God's gift, which is a child. I want to talk about there's so many people out there that are, they can't conceive. They're barren. They're praying, or there's people who want to adopt. And the adoption list is massive, by the way.
Huge.
Huge. My advice would be this. If you're young, you've gotten pregnant, and you don't want to have that baby, don't murder that baby, Because the whole reason that you're able to be here to make that decision is because no one did that to you. No one aborted you. And you have to be grateful for the life you live.
Mm.
You have to be happy for the life you live. Because it's free and it's beautiful and it's given to you by God. So everything that you enjoy in life, all the experiences and everything that you have is because your mum and dad didn't abort you.
Yeah.
And of course, we can turn around and say, but I didn't ask to be here. And I wouldn't know any better if that happened to me. But the fact is, you do. And you have experienced life and you are here. So you can make a decision. If you don't want to keep that baby, if you think you're immature, if you think you're not ready, if you want to travel the world and go and do this, that, and the other, then have the baby and just hand it to a family who actually can't have babies and that will love and care and nurture this child. And you're not hurting this child. You're actually giving them a life instead of not giving them a life. Mm. But this actually reminds me of a story of a young girl who wanted to go out and go clubbing with her husband, and you were at a store.
Mm, yes. So I was at a factory outlet. I was buying shoes for a wedding, for an event, and I was with my son, Caleb. I think he was only a few months old. He was quite young. And I don't even know how we got on the topic. I think I was talking to the other customers inside the store, and I felt like God wanted me inside that store to tell them about Jesus. But actually, I was talking to them about Jesus, the customers, and the sales assistant that worked there, she overheard. And she pulled me aside and she said, can you tell me more about God? How do you think God feels about abortion? Just really random. And I was just like, oh, wow, this is, you know, either she loves to debate or she's been like researching the Bible, or like, I did not think it was a personal situation that she was pregnant and was considering abortion. So that didn't cross my mind because I thought that would be quite vulnerable of her to talk to a stranger about. But that was the situation. She wanted to know what God thought about abortion and what the Bible said about abortion. And I had the opportunity to share with her that God actually is creating that baby in her womb completely perfect, and that he is not for abortion, that abortion is murder. And, you know, it's not like she conceived this baby through rape. She's in a stable long-term relationship. She just wants to travel. She feels young. At the same time, she does want a family eventually, just not now, maybe in 2 years' time. So it was that control of like, it just doesn't fit into my time schedule right now because there's other things I want to do before I have a baby. And I guess I had the opportunity to really minister to her and talk to her about how precious that gift is. I got to tell her about my journey of having an abortion, my journey of trying to conceive, struggling with conceiving, and then being blessed with a miracle with Caleb. I got to show her the miracle. I got to show her my son physically. So it was a really beautiful moment, and she ended up making the decision that she actually did want to keep the baby, but she felt pressured by society. This idea of, you don't have to have a baby now if you don't want to, just go to the abortion clinic and have an abortion, and when you're ready, then try and have a baby. So she felt really pressured by society. And then after having a chat with me, she decided that she was going to call the abortion clinic and cancel the appointment and keep the baby. She wanted to do it with me right there in the store. And I felt so privileged and honored to be able to support her through that. You know, people say they feel pressured. I guess I hear people say, oh, you know, I felt pressured to keep the baby. Well, I think society thinks that people feel pressured to keep the baby. So they offer this solution, which is not a solution, it's murder. They offer this solution of abortion. But what about the people who feel the other way? They feel like society is saying, no, you do you, boo. No, if you don't feel like it, you don't have the baby. It's all about you and what you want to do and what makes you comfortable. And what are you doing for yourself? When having a baby, being a mother and having a baby, going through pregnancy, going through labor and being an active mother, it's not about me at all. It's actually laying down my life.
Hey guys, it's Toby and Susan here, and we're just so blessed that you're watching our podcast. Just a quick announcement, we've found something that transformed our Sundays, and it's called the Sunday Sermon journal.
That's right. No more scattered notes. This journal turns your Sunday reflections into a purposeful journey of growth.
That's right. Imagine having all your sermon notes in one place. Neatly organized, no more lost thoughts.
It becomes a treasured keepsake, a journey of joy, a connection with God.
Order yours at SundaySermonJournal.com. Elevate your Sundays, transform with intentional reflection. God bless. Now back to the podcast.
To take care of a child. And it's a blessing, and you do it not because you have to, you do it because you love that baby. So I think society is saying, is trying to portray this image of laying down your life and sacrifice is bad, when actually Jesus laid down his life for us, and he was that gift for us to have eternal life. And he actually tells us to lay down our lives for others in love. So I did go on a bit of a rant there, but the point I'm trying to make is that abortion is very pushed onto people by society as this is an option right here. Even the morning after pill. Oh, have you had sex and you think that you might be pregnant? Well, don't worry. We'll give you a peace of mind. Come to the pharmacy and take this pill, and we'll make sure that anything that's living in your body will die. Well, that's murder straight from there.
Yeah, that's right.
It's us wanting to take control of the things that God is in control of. It's a spirit of pride. That's what it is.
Mm. I'm going to ruffle feathers here. So what do you think about contraception or people who are on the pill?
That's very interesting. I was on the pill for 12 years and it did mess with my hormones. I was told that I can't conceive. I was diagnosed with endometriosis, which God healed me from. And when he healed me from it, he told me, stop taking contraception. So he told me to stop taking any form of contraception, and I was taking it not to stop myself from conceiving, but more so to manage pain. Now that I'm married, and we did struggle the first 2 years to have our first child. I would not take contraception because I believe that if God wants to bless us with kids, he will, and I don't want to stop that blessing from taking place. And I also don't want to control. I don't want to feel like I have control over that. I want God to be in control.
That's so good.
I believe people who take contraception, they want to control the situation. They want to control when they conceive. So they take contraception. And I'm not judging people out there, but there's many Christians I know, and they're like, look, we're going to take contraception. We're going to do the pull-out method. We're going to use condoms. We're going to be on the pill for the first 2 years of our marriage because we want to enjoy each other. Well, I'm so sorry. Can't you enjoy each other? If God wants to give you a baby, it's like you're saying to God, no, I don't want the gift of a child because I want to enjoy myself with my husband. I mean, that's...
Isn't a child joy?
Yeah, I just...
Isn't adding to your family joy? Yeah, it's hard work. We know it. There's sleepless nights. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's at the end of the day, it brings another level of joy to your family. And if God wants to release that, why are you stopping it? And at the end, God will release children to people because he has a plan for people's lives.
That's right.
And that's it at the end of the day. You can try to have children as much as you like, and some people it happens really fast, and that's because God says yes. And some people it doesn't happen until a year or 2 years or 13 years, and that's because God had a plan for those people also. Yes. God isn't saying no, he's just saying not now. And that was what we went through. We tried for 2 years, and I just felt God always say to me, it is yes. I've promised you, but it's just not now. And it'll be for a later time. And it did happen. It did happen for us. And Pastor Vlad out of Hungry Generation, 13 years.
Yeah.
He had amazing work to do, you know, for the kingdom of God, to advance the kingdom of God here on earth. And he did. And I'm a strong believer in this. If he would have had the baby, or even if we would have had a baby, we would have done none of this. Everything we've done unto the Lord, we wouldn't have done.
That's
all. Our priority would have shifted on the child, and I wouldn't have gone to Bible college, that's for sure.
I also think it would have been too early in our marriage or relationship, maturity-wise, to be able to handle a child. you know? So I think God is so perfect that his timing's so perfect.
That's right.
And he knows when we are ready. And I know for the women out there who have been trying to conceive, you're like, well, I am ready. I am ready. I know I was in that season myself. And I really just encourage you to go away, spend a couple of hours with the Lord and just ask him to give you a time frame. Ask him to give you his peace. And that's what I did. And that's when the Lord said to me, it is coming. And he had said that to Toby a lot earlier. He hadn't said that to me.
Yeah.
And I needed that personal reassurance from the Lord. And after that, I did have peace. And it was, you know, what, 4 or 5 months shortly after that we did conceive. So if you are out there and you're not, you're one of those women trying and you're like, well,
when, Lord, when?
Yeah. And you're seeing other people get pregnant around you, because we did go through that. We saw other people get pregnant, our friends, and we thought, well, we're ready. We want to have a baby. Like, we don't know how much more ready we could be. But God knows.
That's right.
God knows.
That's right.
It's that trust.
Just want to put some stats out here. You know, there's more than 50 million babies that have been aborted just in the United States. That's three times the number of people who were killed in German death camps, in the Chinese purges, with Stalin, in the Cambodian killing fields, and the Rwandan genocide combined. Guys, let me just leave that there. There's more babies that have been killed, aborted, than these massive destructions of living human beings. That's something to think about.
It is actually disturbing.
It's disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
You're thinking about genocides. You're thinking about, you know, how many people were killed during wars. Innocent people. Abortions is three times the amount of that, through studies found here.
And what about that born alive bill? You know, women that have tried to abort their baby and their pregnancy continues and the baby continues to grow. Perhaps they're too far along to have a surgical procedure. And the baby is born alive and the doctors don't practice any sort of medical treatments to care for that baby. They leave the baby in hope that it dies.
Crazy.
That is a living human being. I mean, it is before the baby's born, but that baby is alive, birthed by the mother and unwanted. That is murder. And then you have another bill that was approved, and I can't really remember the name of it, but you have, I think it's 4 hours, correct me if I'm wrong, 4 or 6 hours after you birth the baby, and this is happening now in Victoria at several government hospitals, public hospitals. If you birth your baby and you decide that you do not want your baby due to having a traumatic birth or due to having chronic depression, postnatal depression, this is within 24 hours of giving birth, you have the option to euthanize that baby. This is definitely human sacrifice.
Yeah.
I don't, like, whether you believe in the spiritual realm or not,
there's a whole spiritual side to this.
This is genocide, and a sacrifice is an offering. So you're offering up dead babies to whom? Definitely not to God. I think we need to think about the spiritual element behind this movement. Yeah. Why are we becoming okay with killing innocent babies, born or unborn? Why is that now socially acceptable? And where will this stop? I was talking to Toby and I was saying a few weeks ago, I was saying, will there be like phone booths where you go in and euthanization is just a button away and people are just taking their lives? Like, where does it stop? Where does this
movement stop?
This movement stop?
Because there's a power behind it, guys. It really is. And it seems to be an unseen spiritual power behind it, you know, which is demonic.
Yep.
At the end of the day. And that's what's happening right now.
Yep.
But people are worshiping themselves. This is a self-worship, and it comes down to pride. And who was prideful? Who wanted to take worship for themselves? Satan.
That's right. And he was cast down.
And he was cast down because of it. Yeah.
So there's a spirit of pride which is operating all of this. The spirit of self wanting to do everything that is going to please self. It's a selfish spirit.
Yeah, that's right. But look, we would just encourage you, pray about this.
Mm.
If you are a Christian and you have, you've slipped up and had sex with your partner, pray about it. Don't think, oh, let's just, this is shame, or, you know, my parents are going to find out, let's just get rid of the problem. Guys, yes, will God forgive you? Absolutely.
Mm,
he will.
Yes.
Absolutely, he will. But if we have knowledge and wisdom to make a different decision, then do it, you know. And for people who talk about rape, you know, it's literally 5%, guys. 5% of abortions are rape cases. So it's not every other, that means 95% is, I don't want this baby. I don't want this baby because it's going to impact my life.
Yep.
If the baby is, has a Down syndrome, if it has some deformity, if the baby is going to impact someone's life, ultimately that's what it is. It's, I don't want this baby to impact my life. And it may look like, I don't want the baby to suffer, but really it's, I don't want to deal with this. Or
really what you're saying is the burden is too heavy for me to carry.
Yeah.
And if that's the situation you're in, I want you to know that with Jesus, your burden is light. There is no burden. You cast your burdens onto him.
Yeah.
And although you might find yourself in difficult situations, if you have birthed a child that has a disability, deformality, Down syndrome, whatever it may be, God will give you the resilience. God will give you the grace needed to carry through being a parent to that child.
And the peace.
I do, before we close this, I do just want to share briefly personal experiences, because I think it's really important to connect with the viewers out there and just to know that we are not judging. This isn't a podcast to judge people who have had abortions, because we are one of those people as well.
Yes.
And I was 19 when I had an abortion. I was in a serious relationship, long-term relationship, and I just thought to myself, the person I was in a relationship with had his own struggles with drug abuse, and I had just come out of that lifestyle myself, and I just thought, oh my gosh, like I can't commit to having this baby and care for this baby when I don't feel like I'm able to care for the baby, because I'm not able to care for myself, and I'm concerned that my partner at the time wouldn't be able to be a present father to the baby. And I, everything in society was just saying, well, this is a perfect case for you to abort. I did have, of course, my grandmother, who was a Christian praying woman, saying, you know, if you do feel that way, just put your baby up for adoption or give it to someone who can't conceive. And I just thought to myself, I thought, wow, I can't imagine birthing a baby and then giving my baby away. If I'm going to birth this baby, I want to keep this baby, but I can't care for the baby right now. So if I can't have the baby, then no one can. It was kind of like this. I don't want to say selfish, but I was like, if I'm not going to keep my own baby, I'm not going to give my baby to someone else. So I'm just going to end the baby's life. And that's not because I, thinking about it now, reflecting on it, it is because I didn't see that baby as a living thing. That was my decision for aborting the baby. My situation wasn't fantastic. It wouldn't do me any favors to keep the baby. I didn't think that baby would have a good quality of life. These are my assumptions. And at that time, and even now, society says that when you're only, you know, a few weeks pregnant, that baby's not really a living thing. So it's not really a bad thing to abort the baby. I remember going and having an ultrasound, and I had to hear the baby's heartbeat before I could get funded from the government to get the medication to abort the baby. And I heard that baby's heartbeat and I thought, oh my gosh, that baby is living because there's a heartbeat there. But I've already made this decision and I can't change my mind now, and I've already booked the appointment. And I almost felt pressured. So I was like, oh, I'll just do it then. I'll just do it. But that heartbeat really stayed in my mind. I just kept reliving that heartbeat in my mind. Went through with that abortion, and that was quite traumatic. as it was medical, so I did have to induce a miscarriage to abort that baby. And to be honest with you, I kept those ultrasounds for 5 years after aborting that baby, and I would look at them once a year around the same time that baby would have been born, thinking, oh, my baby's one now, my baby's two now, and I would cry and I'd think about that heartbeat. And it was more traumatic for me to go through that abortion process than anything, than it would have been for me having that baby. So it took me a long time to heal. I had to seek spiritual counseling, and I had to really give my hurts to God to really heal through that process. But yeah, I wanted to share that because I know I have friends and I know other women out there that have had abortions, and they're still holding onto that trauma, and they're still crying about it, and they're still holding onto those ultrasounds, and it's not spoken about. It's just like, well, you had an abortion and yep, move on. Well, it's like, no, you do have trauma from that abortion. And I'm sure that if you've had an abortion, you do have some sort of trauma. Well, Jesus is there to heal that trauma, and he's not looking at you and punishing you for that. He's a loving God, and he will forgive you. And he just wants you to come to him, to repent, to lean on him, and let him love that trauma out of you.
Yeah. I just want to finish with a Bible verse, and that's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And it says, to cast your anxieties or worries or cares upon him, because he cares for you. Guys, we want to thank you for listening and watching our podcast. If you're on YouTube, click like, subscribe, share, hit that bell button so you can get notifications when we do upload a new video. Thank you, guys, and thank you for listening to What God Has Done, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye for now.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. That's it for today.
If you like our content, please click like and subscribe.
And we'll see you next time. Bye for now.